In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Unbelievable as it is to us, we have reached the halfway mark of Great Lent. We know that because the cross is decorated and is at the center of the church. It's always a surprise to us when we reach this point. Some Lent is a surprise because we have ignored part of the Lent up until this point and have not partaken fully of the Lenten spiritual effort, and all of a sudden it's halfway gone for this year. Or for others of us, we dug in even though this year Lent came early and it was a surprise, seeing the icon of Zacchaeus in the tree was a surprise so soon after the celebration of the baptism of our Lord. But we begin Lent by doing Lent. That's how we begin doing the living of our life. It's the same way. We live our lives by the doing of it, not by the fear of it, not by the apprehension of it, not by wishing we could put it off, but by doing what it is time to do when it is time to do those things. And so when Lent comes, we begin. We go through the first week of Lent, the second week of Lent, third week of Lent, and there is the cross at the center. Denying the body by way of food is bitter. It's bitter. It's not fun. It's difficult. Denying our will by refusing to do things that we would like to do is bitter. We have entered bitter waters by entering Great Lent. When Moses led the people into the desert, they reached a place where there was water in the desert, but the water was bitter. And so God told him to take this special wood and immerse it into the waters. And it made the waters sweet. And that's how it is with the cross. We remember not so very long ago, at the time when we celebrated the baptism of Christ, we immersed the cross of Christ into the waters, into the font, when we were blessing holy water. That is why the cross is here at the center of Lent. The cross is plunged into the center of Lent in order to sweeten the bitterness, because after all, it is the cross that is the sign of Pascha, not just the sign of death and suffering, but the sign of resurrection. And we know by the sacrifice and the efforts that we make, we are entering into and participating in the cross of Christ. It takes time to reach this point. It is difficult. We don't hide this from ourselves. We know that it's difficult. And we don't do it to feel better. We don't do it to improve ourselves physically. We don't do it for any of those self-oriented reasons that we do almost everything that we do in life. In the 21st century in America, we do it for the sake of our souls. And our bodies suffer a little bit because of it. So that bitterness is sweetened by the direction and orientation that is provided by the cross. The reason we do this is to overcome, to conquer the presence of sin and suffering and death in the world. And it may be that in America and some other especially blessed places, there is very little suffering, so little suffering that we come to believe that suffering is not our part. That if we suffer, we should be able to just ban it from our lives. We forget how wealth is built on the sacrifice of many. We forget about the deaths that seem so meaningless to us when we see them on television. Women and children starving and dying. Women and children and innocents being blasted into non-existence, but we don't feel it. We try to banish suffering from our lives. And when the least little thing happens to us, we want to know why. Well, why? The why is that we live in a world that is dominated by the presence of sin and suffering and death. And if we are going to confront that reality, we have to confront it within ourselves. And so we make the spiritual effort of Lent. And Jesus Christ says to us, "Whomsoever will follow me, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me." Deny yourself. And what does this mean, deny yourself? There are two senses of denying yourself. The first one was experienced by Adam when he denied that he had been created in order to live in harmony with God. He asserted himself and rebelled against that harmony to try to stand on his own, to try to live separately from God. And all of us do this. We repeat this same original sin in our lives. And having committed this first denial of his true self, you see, of the reality of how we are created in the image and likeness of God, that's what the fall is about. That's what our fall in spiritual life is about. We deny the reality of the fact that we are created in such a way that we cannot be who we are and what we are, except in communion with God. And having asserted ourselves on our own behalf, we can only sustain this unreality by lies. Continual lies. Lies that we are better than we actually are. Lies about our spiritual condition. Lies to ourselves. And we create an unreal self and go into the world that is populated by millions of other human beings who have done the same. And we wonder why there is suffering. Because the center of God's universe, the human being, is completely disoriented from reality and doesn't know the difference between when they do something good and when they do something evil. Because everything that occurs, they twist into some lie that will affirm the unreality of their life in separation from God. That unreal self that has no existence. There is a second self-denial, and that is the self-denial that Jesus Christ is talking about. To deny that unreality, and to affirm the reality of our oneness with Christ God. And that involves the cross. By rejecting our affirmation of the unreality of our self-created illusion of ourselves, repenting of all of those efforts to establish ourselves using the world to that end in a way that does not center on God, by denying that false self, we are taking up the cross of the presence of sin and suffering and death in the world, which is what Christ God came into the world in order to do, to take up the burden of the presence of the sin and suffering and death that is in the world. If we are Christians, then we take up that burden within ourselves, not out in the world, only within ourselves. That is what is necessary. We can have joy in the presence of sin and suffering and death in the world through Christ, because he has overcome the world. Because he has overcome the presence of sin and suffering and death in the world. They need not dominate our lives. We need not waste our lives building up a fabric of lies and an illusion about a self that has no existence. We can deny that false self and take up the reality of the fact that we were created to live in communion with God. That is the only way we can return to the paradise of oneness with God that man knew at the beginning. It is a free choice. It is not a choice that God imposes on us. When Adam asserted himself, afterward he denied any responsibility. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. No recognition of one's own responsibility and the lies and the unreality that comes after that. But we are free. A human being is a free being. God will not impose his will on us. He does not impose the taking up of our cross. We can live our lives in meaningless self-delusion if that is what we choose. But whomsoever chooses to follow him must deny themselves freely. It is our part. It is our participation in his great work. He freely chose to ascend the cross, to deny and destroy the power of death. He used our humanity in order to do it. He suffered in our humanity on the cross, but he did it freely and willingly by his choice in order to be able to destroy the power of death over us. And if we are going to destroy the power of death over us in our lives and live real and true lives in the world as it actually is, then we too have to freely choose to deny ourselves and take up the cross of Christ and live realistically in a world where there is an incredible amount of suffering. If you don't believe there's an incredible amount of suffering, watch the news. There is suffering throughout the world. Those people are not separate from us. They are not different from us. We are part of them, they are part of us. Any suffering that we experience in our lives, most of them have experienced tenfold. All of the difficulties that we have in our lives here in America in the 21st century pale by comparison with the suffering of mankind down through the ages and in many parts of the world today. We are one of them. We are not separate. We are not blessed to live in an illusion of our own divinity, as though we alone are more important than any other person in the world. And yet that is how we are tempted to live. The alternative is to deny that unreality, take up our cross, and follow Christ. And by doing it freely, we participate in his victory. In all little ways, every time we are confronted by some difficulty in our lives, we come to realize that we have brought the difficulty on ourselves from within ourselves by rebelling against it. We lay down that false illusion, take up the cross of Christ, and that difficulty, that suffering, is overcome. There is no suffering so great that can't be overcome by our acceptance and participation in the victorious cross of Christ. That's why the cross is at the center of Lent. That's why we do Great Lent. It is a discipline. It is a practice. If we just look for the easiest way to get through Lent, we won't have done Lent. We won't have begun Lent. We won't see the resurrection. We won't know the resurrection within ourselves. It takes our participation. St. Nikolai of Velimirovic says that taking up our cross means the willing acceptance, of the hand of providence, whatever occurs to us. Difficult means of healing, bitter though they may be, offered to us in our lives. We accept them or reject them. Does great catastrophe fall on you? Be obedient to God's will, as Noah was. Is sacrifice demanded of you? Give yourself into God's hands with the same faith as Abram had when he went to sacrifice his son. Is your property ruined? Do your children die suddenly? Suffer it all with patience, cleaving to God in your heart, as Job did. Suffering is not itself evil, but is only the manifestation of evil. There is evil in the world, but it can be overcome because Christ has overcome it. Suffering is a healing from evil. Do your friends forsake you? And do you find yourself surrounded by enemies? Bear it all without grumbling and with faith in hand, as the apostles did. Are you condemned to death for Christ? Be thankful to God for such an honor, as thousands of Christian martyrs have done. Once we truly deny ourselves, once we truly take up our cross, once we begin to live truly as Christians, sharing Christ's triumph over sin and suffering and death by the cross, we know a joy that is the joy of Christ and the apostles and all of the saints, that the sin and suffering and death present in this world has been overcome and can be overcome by you and I, because this overcoming of the presence of these evil things in the world by the power of Christ is what it means to be a Christian. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.